Many of you may not have heard this particular truth before, and so let me encourage you to pray for the Spirit to help you understand. God, even though what I just said is true, the passage also is about how we understand things that are spiritual. And so I pray, God, that we would understand, that your Spirit would help us the way that you've said he will, so that we can gather your truth. We can know the great things that you have for us who love you. That we can live better in Christ, the glorious existence that you've intended us. God, we trust you. We want to trust your word when we hear it. So we give ourselves to that today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I was pretty fresh out of college, a mentor of mine gave me a book about success. And little did I know, it was written by a Christian. It had a Christian worldview, and the book was filled with Scripture. I didn't even know what Scripture was, so I didn't recognize it was in there. I was just reading it because I wanted to be successful. And in the middle of the book, it told me that if I wanted to be truly successful at life, then I needed to know God. And I was like, what? How do you know God? And turn the page. If you don't know how to know God, read the Bible. And I'm like, what's the Bible? And so I opened up the yellow pages because I thought, well, church, that's what you do. And so I opened up the yellow pages and I was scanning through for a place that was close to me. And, oh, there's a Bible church. I better go there. And so unfortunately, before I got to that, I took some other steps, which was to ask some friends of mine, hey, could you take me to church? And so I went to the first church, and the minister gave his talk. And I thought, that can't be the kind of wisdom that the author of that book was talking about. And I didn't go back there. And I went to another friend, and they took me to another place. And after the minister gave his talk, I thought the exact same thing. But I didn't give up, and I think the reason I didn't give up is because the Holy Spirit was working on me. He was moving me toward God. And so, like I said, the success book had mentioned the Bible. I opened the yellow pages looking for a church, Bible church. So I went there, and the pastor did something very different. He opened the Bible, and he explained the Bible. And when he was done, I remember thinking, now I can see how that kind of teaching can be useful to my life. What was happening that the Bible preacher did that the other two guys didn't do? God was revealing and interpreting his truth through a human, a pastor. And I believe God's Spirit was at work on me so that I could recognize that the wisdom that was there, because it was coming from God's Word. The reason why we are to keep listening to speakers of God's truth is because God has chosen to reveal his truth to people through people, through speakers, teachers. We're going to discover more about how that works today, and I think, really importantly, how we should be good receivers of what God reveals. Please open your Bible, if you haven't already, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We're going to finish chapter 2 today. If you haven't been here, this is your first time, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the prior sermons, because we're going through the whole book, and the prior ones will help you to understand where we're going. But I also will bring you into that a little bit here now. So it seems like a lot of the teachers that the Corinthians were enjoying may have been largely giving them worldly wisdom, worldly values that was emptied of the essential truths of God. And Paul was attempting to correct the Corinthians on what they wanted and what they valued. So we've been learning what kind of wisdom we should want and where we should get that wisdom from. We've learned that God's wisdom is the wisest. And really, it's the only true wisdom, because God considers the world's supposed wisdom as foolishness. I'm so glad that many of you have remembered that. Therefore, we should get God's wisdom from teachers who are teaching God's truth. In the passage we're studying today, the Apostle Paul helps us understand more about how God reveals His truth through human teachers to spiritual people. You see, God's messages often, and I would even say normally, come through humans. So there are human teachers to listen to, but we have to be careful not to be receptive to merely human messages of human wisdom. And when we hear revelation of God through a good teacher, we don't want to act like mere humans in our reception, which would be to actually reject, not accept the message, even though it's God's truth. So we want to be careful not to listen to the kinds of messages that we shouldn't, and to listen to the messages that are actually the truth of God. And this is going to help us with that. The first part of the passage continues to contrast what we have seen previously. That is the difference between teaching wisdom of this age and teaching God's wisdom. So please look at chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 while I read. Yet we do not speak wisdom among, we do speak wisdom among the mature, but a wisdom not of this age, nor of the leaders of this age, who are being invalidated. But rather, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, which has been concealed, which God predestined before the ages for our glory, which none of the leaders of this age had understood. For if they did understand, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul has been using this word wisdom often to refer to the supposed wisdom of the teachers the Corinthians loved, who were apparently teaching worldly wisdom. That wisdom of the age and the leaders who hold to it are being invalidated by God. But there is good wisdom that comes through people, which Paul and the other good teachers were speaking, and other good teachers today still speak. They speak God's wisdom. They speak it to the mature. Now, hearing that, before I explain who the mature are, there are probably people here who think they're really mature that aren't. And there are probably people here who don't think you're mature, and you actually are a lot more mature than you think you are in Christ. See, mature doesn't mean totally grown up. Nobody is ever totally grown up in Christ. We all always have more to learn about Christ and how to live rightly in relationship to Christ. And so mature is just a contrast to being like infants in Christ. I think Paul was implying that those who wanted to be entertained by novel thoughts that come from humans' minds instead of from God's Word, those people are infants. You just want to listen and be entertained? You're a child. I'm not saying that to you. If you are that way, then I guess I am. But I think he was saying that basically to them. If they were more mature, they would want the meat of God's Word. I've been saying to my 13-year-old lately and saying to other people that he has matured a ton, even just in the last few months. And by that, what I mean is that he's being more responsible to listen to the wisdom that his mom and I are giving him, and he's living more in line with that teaching. He's being more responsible to live according to what we're teaching him. And we think that's exactly what Paul was insinuating here, that the mature are simply those who want to listen to God's wisdom, and they want to put it into their lives. They want to live by that wisdom. Hebrews 5 teaches that the mature who can handle the solid food of God's Word are those who practice God's Word. Practice it. They learn it, they put it into life. They learn it, they put it into life. They learn it, they put it into life. That's practicing God's Word. And Hebrews implies that people that stay spiritual babies is because they don't receive and utilize God's Word. And so even people that have been Christians for a long time could be spiritual babies if they're not utilizing God's Word. But if you're willing to consume God's Word and practice it, use it, live it, that is a sign that you are maturing and a sign of maturity. So if you are in the regular practice of receiving God's Word, accepting it as His truth, and then putting it into your life, you're in the right position. You're in the right position to receive what God has for you, receive His wisdom. Is that you? What is the content of that solid spiritual food? Look at verse 7. Paul and other good teachers speak God's wisdom in a mystery which has been concealed, which God predestined before the ages for our glory. So why do we keep listening to teachers of God's truth throughout the ages? Because God has chosen, even before the ages, to reveal His truth to people through speakers, teachers. A mystery is something that's been concealed that needs to be revealed. And before time, God had a plan, knowing what was going to happen. He knew He wanted to be in relationship with these people that He created, and He knew they were going to fall from that. And so He had a plan, even before time began, that He was going to send the Son of God, the Christ, to bring fallen humans back into relationship with Himself so that they could be His people and so that they could live with Him and for Him. But that just wasn't fully revealed until God determined that it was the right time, until the Son actually came as Jesus. And so God has revealed the mystery, and He continues to unpack that mystery through people that speak God's truth. And what is revealed is for our glory. This is fantastic. We who get in Christ will be what the Bible says calls glorified someday. That's when He resurrects our body and He's going to make them perfect and He's going to put us in this perfect place of heaven where we can be with Christ, the Lord of glory. But I don't think glory here just refers to the end when we get glorified, but I think it refers to even now. God wants us to be transformed more and more into the glorious persons that He intended us to be. When he had the idea of creating human beings, and as He creates a soul that became each of you, He had a perfect ideal of what that person would be, and yet it's tainted, it's messed up by sin. And so when we get in Christ, he's in this process of like, it's like we have mud on us, and He's in the process of trying to wash that off so that we can see and other people can see who God intended each of us to be. That's our glory. Listening to and living according to God's wisdom is how that happens. But when God's wisdom is not what people are expecting or what people like, they may reject it, like they did with Jesus Himself. That's what verse 8 is about. Christ's coming was the start of God revealing God's mystery. But the Jewish and Roman leaders didn't understand that. They didn't, what Christ was, what Jesus was, wasn't what they expected. That wasn't what they wanted. And so they rejected God's mystery, which was in Jesus Christ. And what did they do as a result of that? They crucified Him. Listen carefully. That is the kind of mistake which is made still now by people who don't listen to God, because what He is revealing is not what they have expected or what they want. So get this, it's kind of like If God reveals some truth to you for you to live in your life that He wants you to know and you won't accept it to change your thinking, He wants you to live in some different way and He's revealing that to you and you won't accept and put that into your life, it's kind of like you're crucifying Christ. Because that's what the people did who rejected Him. And it's kind of like we do that when we reject truth that is about Him and how to live in Him. Isn't that a gross thought to think about yourself being one of those people that would crucify the Christ? We don't want to be that person. And so the way to not be like that is when God reveals to us these things, we accept. And I'll tell you, you might be in the minority. I mean, just look back to Jesus' day. Most of the people rejected Him. But there were a few who didn't. And even the few who didn't, they were always, you know, kind of going, Jesus, are you sure about that? Or even like rebuking Him, like, that can't be. But ultimately, they tried to wrap their minds around it and wrap their lives around it and accepted it. And they were the few weirdos. And you might be one of the few weirdos if you really accept what God is trying to tell you in your life. But you'll be on the right side of where God wants you to be. And so we need to be willing to accept what God is revealing with any truth that He reveals, even if it's not what we expect or like. When you hear God's mysteries of how life really works, how we should live as people that are in Christ, it may sound weird to our brains that have been trained by the world. But be willing to accept what God is revealing. And therefore, don't expect preachers and Christian teachers to say things that are what you want them to say things that are pleasing to you, to say things that fit the way that you currently think. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that unless your brain has already been transformed by the Word of God, that a lot of times when you hear the Word of God, it should sound kind of weird. It should sound kind of like, oh, that's really different than what I know. That's really different than the way I live and for sure the way everybody around me thinks and lives. But that's what we should want. God's truth, no matter how it seems to us. God has amazing things prepared for those who love Him in a way that He often reveals them. Is God's Spirit gets the knowledge from God and He gives it in words to human teachers who speak, and the things of God are received by truly spiritual people. To receive the amazing things that God has for us, we need to be and behave like spiritual people, not like natural people. Look at verses 9 through 15 while I read. But just as it has been written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of people, as great a things as God has prepared for those who love Him. But to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the things of a person except the spirit of a person which is in him? Thus also the things of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things graciously given to us by God. Which things we also are speaking, not in words taught by human wisdom, but rather those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But the spiritual person examines all things. Let's pause there. The truly great stuff that God has for us who love Him isn't what has been seen before. It isn't what has been heard before. It isn't what has been known before. These things don't occur naturally to humans. So how can we get access to these things. God has revealed them and continues to reveal them. See verses 10 and 11. Revelation comes through the Spirit, and only spiritual persons grasp this revelation. The Spirit is God's Spirit, and so He searches the things of God, all the depths of God, it says. And that word for depths means the riches. You might remember a couple weeks ago I was trying to paint this picture for you of, like, imagine God, and He's got like this treasure house of all this awesome wisdom that's like riches. And He's trying to offer it to us. Remember that, if you were here? That's the picture here. All the riches of God. The Spirit goes up there and He searches all those things and He grabs for it and He's trying to bring it to us. No one is able to go, in a sense, inside of God and get what He has except the Spirit of God. And the only way that us humans can know those things is for the Spirit to reveal them. And we need to be spiritual to receive the revelation. We need to be spiritual and we need to act spiritual to receive the revelation. The first thing that makes someone spiritual is addressed in verse 12. We have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who is from God. And we know from elsewhere in the Bible that we receive the Holy Spirit at the moment that we trust Jesus Christ. So if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received the Holy Spirit. He is in you. So you have that first quality. And you're in the right starting place, that you may know the things graciously given to you by God. You have the Holy Spirit's help to be able to apprehend, to be able to comprehend, to be able to understand the revelation of God. Then we need revelation. And that comes by the Spirit, which is addressed in verse 13. Paul and the other apostles and good teachers were speaking not in words taught by human wisdom, but rather those taught of the Spirit. See, a good Christian teacher doesn't teach human wisdom. A good teacher is taught of the Spirit and teaches what he learns. He gets from God and gives it to God's people. Now, the apostles, when they did that, not only did they speak, but they wrote, which we have in the New Testament. We have these, what we believe to be Spirit-inspired writings from the apostles. And so we get Spirit-inspired teaching from the New Testament. And that's part of the job of a teacher, is that they're supposed to take from what the Spirit has put in here and give it to the people. But also, when Christian teachers teach, they don't simply just read the Bible and close it, right? They explain to you and illustrate and apply. And to do those things, a good teacher should be relying upon the Holy Spirit for the whole message. When I prepare for preaching, I think the most important thing I do in studying the Bible is to do it with the Holy Spirit. I try to never do sermon preparation without praying and expressing my need for the Holy Spirit to help me. And to my knowledge, I've never done that. I feel so, I talked about that last week or the week before. I feel so desperate that when I get up here, I have to give you the Word of God, that during the week, I feel so desperate, like I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit helps me. And I use resources like scholarly commentaries, but as I'm reading the commentaries, I'm praying that the Spirit would show me who's right. Like a couple weeks ago, I even read four commentaries and they were all different. Who's right? I got to tap into the Holy Spirit for Him to tell me that guy's right. That matches. And I'm comparing it to the Scriptures and saying, Spirit, maybe sometimes all those guys I think are wrong. Spirit, help me understand these words that are written here. I don't know that those guys have it right. Help me understand these words. Some of you even know, you know, not only do I read it in English, but I translate from the Greek and I pore over the Greek words. But even when I'm doing that, I don't rely on my human resources and my training alone. I'm asking the Spirit, help me understand these words. Show me what it means. The Spirit inspired the writers to write these words of the Bible. So there's a sense in which the Spirit wrote this, so He knows what it means. Doesn't it make sense that we would tap into Him to say, tell me what it means? The teacher needs to tap into Him to say, tell me what it means. You all need to tap into the Spirit to say, tell me what it means. And when that person up there is explaining it to me, is he right? As listeners, all the Spirit-indwelled Christians are to be tapped into the Spirit to grasp the truth. So it's not just me who needs to do that when I teach. You need to come every week tapped into the Spirit so that you can understand and so that you can even judge what I'm saying as right or wrong. So the teachers are speaking words from the Spirit and the Christians are able to understand because the Spirit is in you, helping you. So that's spiritual coming together with spiritual. Spirit-led words and Spirit-led understanding of those words. Are you getting it that that's this Christian teaching thing, even though it's a human speaking and it's humans listening, it's not supposed to be a merely human endeavor? What is spoken and how it is understood is supposed to be a spiritual thing, executed in all phases by the Holy Spirit and us people tapped into the Holy Spirit. As opposed to the natural person. Verse 14, a natural person, that's the person without the Spirit and not listening possibly to the Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually examined. You don't want to be like that natural, non-spiritual, worldly person. They don't accept, grasp the things the Spirit reveals. The things the Spirit reveals sound like foolishness to him or her. Now listen, if we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to be able to help us grasp what God is revealing. But if we are thinking, if we are behaving like a non-spiritual person at the moment that we are getting that revelation, we may still think God's truths are foolishness and not accept what He is revealing. For some reason, this is the way that God has chosen to be. He doesn't just override us. He's there to help. He's there to do these things with us, but He won't force us. And so we have to say, I am a person that's willing to receive God's revelation. God, speak it to me. Here I am. But the spiritual person examines all things. There's a word that occurs once in verse 14 and twice in verse 15, translated as appraised or discerned. I translate it as examined. It means to examine in order to make preliminary judgments. When we listen to teaching, if we are tapped into the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, we can and should examine what is taught, and we should make judgments about whether that is God's truth. That's why we say every week, grab a Bible if you don't have one. Open it. Have it open so that as I'm speaking, you could be saying, is that a reasonable explanation of what I'm seeing here in the text of the Bible? You should be doing that examination. But Paul's saying that the spiritual person can judge all things apparently needed to be qualified. So the second part of verse 15 and the first part of verse 16 seem to be a short qualifier. Look at verses 15 and 16. The spiritual person examines all things, yet himself is examined by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? I'm going to pause there. We can examine teaching by the leading of the Spirit in us to judge whether it is God's truth. And therefore, we could reject the teaching as wrong. But we can't evaluate unto judgment the teacher himself, for example, saying, that's not a man sent by God. The word translated as appraised or examined was apparently used. Back then, the way they did court was different. We kind of got our system a little bit from the Romans and the Greeks, but it was a little bit different. This word referred to the examination they would do before the court case. They would investigate all these things, and they would discover what was going on, and they would bring the information to the judge and tell him that information, kind of giving him preliminary judgment, helping him to make the final judgment during the actual hearing. This word translated appraised or examined, that's what it is, to do this investigation and inform the judge. But we don't have the place to inform God as judge. With, for example, saying something like, that man is not sent by God. He is not God's servant. This wording in verse 16 might reflect Isaiah 40:13. It suggests that certain things are only the Lord's to know, and they are only His responsibility. And judgment of the service of one of the Lord's servants is up to the Lord. If we make that judgment now about one of His servants, it seems like, from what this is saying, it's as if we are trying to inform God about how He should judge that person in the end. And we can't do that. So, should we judge what a teacher says? Yes. By the Spirit, to determine if that is God's truth. Should we judge the teacher as a bad servant of Christ, or that they are not a messenger of God? I think no. We have to be really careful of that. And especially saying that to other people. Well, after that short qualifier, Paul seems to have finished back on the main point. He says, we have the mind of Christ. Seems to be kind of a summary of what has already been taught prior. That is, if we are taught by words from the Spirit and comprehend by the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Why is that? Let me show you. You don't have to flip there, but this was what Jesus said when He was leaving. He was preparing to leave the earth, and He said to the apostles, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Then He talks about what the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will do in the world. And then He continues saying, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. So what Jesus was saying is, the Holy Spirit is going to get from me, Jesus, and He's going to give it to you. How do we have the mind of Christ? We listen to the Spirit, because the Spirit gets from the mind of Christ and He brings it to us. Isn't that cool? So, we are to keep listening to speakers of God's truth, because God has chosen to reveal His message through humans. But what they speak is not supposed to be a merely human message, human wisdom. And so we need to be guided by the Spirit to know what kind of a message it is that we're getting. Being guided by the Spirit, we need to examine and judge if it is merely a human message or if it's God's truth. And if it's God's truth, we should receive it like spiritual people rather than reject it like natural people. Therefore, when you listen to Christian preaching, Christian teaching, tune into the Spirit. Whether it's here on a Sunday morning or in a Bible study during the week, whatever that is, if you're listening on the radio, make a practice of tuning into the Spirit, saying, Spirit, help me understand what I'm listening to. And if it's not of you, that I would reject it. If it is of you, that I would understand it and I would accept it. Listen to the Spirit to discern God's truth and then accept God's truth to transform your mind and then transform how you live. So, what kind of a listener will you be going forward? What questions do you have for me about this passage or maybe topics that it brought up for you that I may try to answer? Judge, like, how do we do that? How does that work? And I got as clear as I could, like, to where I feel like I at least grasped it enough to preach it, but I still, there's so few words there. I don't know exactly where the line is as far as what we could say about a teacher. I know that I'm going to be a lot more careful about what I say about a teacher. I think we could say to another person, for example, hey, I've listened to this teacher and what he says doesn't seem to match the Word of God to me, so I would be careful with that. But I would not go as far as to say, that's not a man of God. That's not a speaker of God. Like, condemn that person as a teacher. I'd be really careful of that. And where the line is between those things, I don't know exactly. But I'd be careful. Let me throw out one other qualifier since I have a minute and there's no other questions. When this is going to come up later in another sermon, but I want to throw it out there now. He's going to use this word again that means examine, judge, discern. And he implies that they shouldn't be doing that again. That doesn't mean that when you're listening to somebody do their thing, teaching, that you wouldn't maybe go to them and say, hey, I've got some advice for you. Or when a leader is serving in some way, that you wouldn't go to them and maybe say, hey, I'm not sure you're doing that quite right. When you do that, you're trying to be helpful. You're not judging people. You're trying to help them to be better. Just like if I would say to somebody, hey, I'm not sure that person's teaching is in accord with God's word. I'm trying to help that person, right? My purpose with them is not to judge the teacher. It's to help the person be a receiver of God's truth. And so the same thing when you're, you know, like, you're welcome to come to me and say, hey, when you preach, this doesn't really, you do this on a regular basis, and that really doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you could change the way that you do that, I think it might be more helpful. You can do that. You're not judging me by doing that. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. First of all, would you just sit for a moment, and hopefully you've already been listening to the Spirit, but just in a moment of silence, listen to what the Holy Spirit might want you to definitely take home today. If there's something that you need to change about the way that you listen to teaching, maybe it's that you've been too ready to accept any teaching and you need to be more discerning, or maybe you haven't been willing to receive words that are even from God, or any number of other things, whatever you might have heard that God might be moving on you to change, would you be willing to tell Him right now that you want to change that? God, I pray that we would all be people who want Your truth, that we would be people that when we're hearing things taught, no matter how interesting, no matter how entertaining, that Your Spirit, we would be tapped into Your Spirit to examine and determine that that is not Your truth. But God, I also pray that we would be people, because we're tapped into the Spirit, we're trying to be spiritual listeners, that when You teach us something, even that sounds weird to our natural ears, our naturally trained brain, that when we know it's from You, when we know it's Your truth, that we would accept it, that we would change our thinking, that we would change our behavior, our lives, to match your truth. And I thank you, Jesus, that you give us that you continue to give us your mind, continue to give us your truth by this mystery of how your Spirit works, and that it's for us who love you, and it's for our glory. Thank you, Jesus. So we pray in your name. And all those who agreed said,
Amen.
Amen.